Okay, good morning. Today's daf is daf Chaf Beis. Let's start again on the bottom of Chaf Aleph from the Beis with this story that had come to Reb Shimon and Elazar. Okay, let's start again. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Reb Shimon Elazar says, Lo yaskir adam sadeu lekuti. A person should not lease out his field to a Samaritan. Why? Because the field is still, by reputation, called his, called Zev's field. The Samaritans, they don't accept the oral law. They only fulfill what's literal and how they understand the literal. So this kuti is going to be doing work on Chol HaMoed. And so people are going to think that Zev hired the kuti to work on Chol HaMoed. The Gemara now says, so that implies that for a kuti I can't lease out my field. Avalovit kochave my shari. But to a guy, I could lease my field. Let's say it's far from Surya, far from Eretz Yisrael. They only allowed to do work of Davra Aved, to save from loss. You can't do regular work. So Gemara says, Avalova kochav mai shari. So why is it allowed? The non-Jew also is going to be doing work on Chol HaMoed. So what are you going to suggest? Tamri arisa arisuse Aved. People who see him doing work are going to say, ah, that's a sharecropper. And the sharecropper is working for himself. He gets a share of the profits. So he's choosing to work on Chol HaMoed to get his share. Yachi, if that's the assumption of what people are going to say when they see the work on Chol HaMoed, so kutinami. So why can't you lease out the field to the Samaritan? He's going to work on Chol HaMoed. But Amri Arisa Arusu Sayavit, people who see him are going to think he's just being a sharecropper and he's working for himself. So now starting today's daf, Chafez Amid Aleph, so the Gemara says, you know what, in this Braisa where we have Reb Shimon Elazar, it's Arisu Sayavit, Reb Shimon Elazar Leslie. Reb Shimon Elazar doesn't believe that the people seeing the work happening in the field are going to interpret the work as being a sharecropper doing the work. Not necessarily is the work in a field from a sharecropper. On the contrary, people think that the work in a field is from a hired hand, a man who is hired per hour, per day. Okay? So if so, we understand why we can't have the kuti lease my field, because the kuti is going to work on Chol HaMoed, and people are going to think that I'm working on Chol HaMoed by hiring the kuti. Okay, so now a non-Jew also. I shouldn't be able to lease the field to the non-Jew. Because the non-Jew is going to work on Chol HaMoed, and people are going to think that I'm hiring a non-Jew. So the Gemara says, Elo Ovid Kochav my time Mutter. So why did Shimon Elazar say I could lease out a field to a non-Jew? He's going to work on Chol HaMoed. People are going to think that I'm working on Chol HaMoed. No, the reason why I'm allowed to lease to the non-Jew, Damina Levitzayat. If I tell the non-Jew, don't work on Chol HaMoed, don't work on Shabbos, don't work on Yom Tov, he's going to listen. So one second. So then according to Reb Shimon Elazar, why did he say you can't lease to the Kuti? Kuti Nami, to the Samaritan also. Amina Levitzayat, just tell him not to do the work, and he'll listen to you. So the Gemara says, Kuti Lo Tzayat. Remember, the Samaritans, they deny the oral Torah. They claim they were religious Jews, keeping the written Torah. They claim they had a better and more correct interpretation of the written Torah than we did. So they're not going to listen to us if we say, don't do work on Chol HaMoed. He's going to say, Tamar, he's going to say, Anag mir natfim enach, I've learned more than you. I know more than you. I'm a big Talmud Chacham. I know more. So since he doesn't listen to us, he's going to end up working on Chol HaMoed. He won't work on Shabbos, because the verse says on Shabbos not to do work, and he listens to verses. But he's going to end up working on Chol HaMoed. Onlookers are going to think that this guy working was hired by me. They're not going to think that he's a person who leased the field or a sharecropper even. They're going to think that he was hired by me. And they're going to think that I'm out there violating Chol HaMoed, hiring people to work on Chol HaMoed. So that will be a problem of marit ayin, of appearing to do a sin. And therefore, we can't do it. That's why I don't ever lease a field to a kuti. Yeah, question, David.
In Jerusalem, there were Tzidokim, and they also didn't believe in the Lord.
Yes. Yeah.
They were Jewish, unlike the Samaritans.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so the reality is that if you look through Jewish history, there's a certain degree of repetitiveness to what happens. So this particular heresy, to say the written Torah is true, but the rabbinic interpretation is not true. So we're going to just accept the written Torah. We're not going to listen to what we have in the Gemara. We're not going to listen to Mishnah. That keeps coming back. So you had it with the Samaritans, the Shomronim. Then later you had the Tzedokim in the times of the Second Temple and the Baitusim. And then later you have it again in the times of the Gaonim with a group called the Karaim, the Karaites, who again said, we read the Mikra, but we don't accept the oral tradition. It keeps coming back, this heresy. So,
Rabbi, can you rent your field to Samaritan and put the owner is not here?
Nice question. Seems not. What's that?
The Karaim were Jews.
Karaim were Jews, yeah, who did not accept the oral Torah. That's right. So the Gemara now asks, so if those are the issues, because that Akuti is going to do work on Chol HaMoed. So my area, why did Tana say, because my name is still on that field, and people seeing the Kuti working are going to think that I hired him to work, and he's going to be working on Chol HaMoed. They're going to think I'm violating Chol HaMoed. Why is that the issue? Typically, the reason why I can't lease a field to the Kuti is Mishum Lifnei Iver Lo Siten Michshol, because I'm not allowed to cause people to sin. Not allowed to cause even non-Jews to sin. I certainly can't cause Kutim to sin. So, I mean, assuming that the Kutim are also Jews, so if we know that that's a question. They may not be Jews, but because ultimately it was decided that they're not Jews, that they're worshipping pigeons up on top of their Mount Gerizim. But before that was assumed, when we were still thinking that the Kutim are Jews, I'll tell you why I can't lease to the Kuti a field, because as a Jew, he's supposed to be resting on Chol HaMoed. And he's going to violate it, so I'm going to be enabling his sin. So that's lifnei iver lo titein michshol. Don't put a stumbling block in front of the blind. So Gemara says, you're right. Chad of od kamar. There's one and another point here. Chad, first of all, mishum lifnei iver lo titein michshol. Yes, there's the issue of lifnei iver lo titein michshol. And secondly, mipnei shenikrei sal shmo. Also because my name is on the field. And the Kuti is going to be doing work, and it's going to be something that's going to look bad on me. So both issues. Okay, so now we have the story with Rava. I'm sorry, I thought we had gotten up to it already. All right. Hanu. So now a story on these issues. Hanu Morikai. There were these gardeners who planted gardens of saffron. So it was a situation of a non-Jew and a Jew who were working partners, and they had gotten a field to work it on to work it as sharecroppers. So basically the Jew and the non-Jew are a pair, and I guess they used to take fields and they would work the fields. So they got a field that they were going to work as sharecroppers. They were going to get, I don't know, 50% of what grew out of the field because they were going to work it. So, to Ovid Kochavim Naket B'Shabsa, the non-Jew took Shabbos. He accepted that he would work on Shabbos. And in return for the fact that he would do all the work on all the Shabbosos, that he would plow on Shabbos, and then when the grain would grow, he would weed on Shabbos. When they would get to the harvesting, it would be one day that would be just for him. He would harvest, he would keep the whole thing, even though he has a partner. And Yisrael b'chad b'shabsa. And the Jew accepted that because the non-Jew was taking on the Shabbosos, let's say he was going to take on all the Sundays. All the Sundays, he was going to do all the work. And then when it was time for the harvesting, there'd be, even though normally when they would harvest, they would share what they would harvest 50-50, because he had one day of exclusively his work, so he would have one day of exclusively his harvest. So that was the deal. Asu l'kami d'Rava. So they went in front of Rava. Is this allowed? Shara lahu, Rava allowed it to them. Eis ve'ravina l'Rava. So Ravina came and he challenged Rava from a brisa. The brisa says, Yisrael v'ovid kochavim shekiblu sadeh b'shutfis. A Jew and a Gentile who got a field to be partners as sharecroppers in the field, and they're both working the field, says the Braisa, Lo Yomar Yisrael Ovid Kochavim, the Jew should not say to the Gentile, Tol Chalkecha B'Shabbos, you know what, we're both supposed to be working the field. Here, you take your portion on Shabbos, you do all the work on a Shabbos, and in return, on one of the days of harvest, you get all of the harvest. Vani b'chol, and I'll take on one of the days during the week. And then when we get to the harvest, I'll get one day of exclusively receiving that day. A Jew shouldn't do that. He shouldn't do that. V'im histu mitchila mutter. But if they made the condition from the very beginning, it's allowed. So Rashi explains, Lo Yomer Yisrael, the Jew can't tell the non-Jew Tolat Techelkecha b'Shabbos, you take your portion on Shabbos, because that basically means what? I and the non-Jew both accepted to work the field. So now I say to the non-Jew, I have an obligation to work the field on Shabbos. We're half, to do half of it with you. So you know what, you do my obligation, you work the field on Shabbos. Then the non-Jew is doing my obligation to work the field exclusively on Shabbos, because I'm supposed to do half of it. He's doing all of it. So on the half that I'm supposed to be doing, he is my emissary. Okay, so if he's my emissary, that's a problem. On Shabbos, I can't send a non-Jew to do the work for me. However, but if before we entered into the deal, before I was obligated to work and he was obligated to work, we agreed, he would get the Shabbosos, and I would get the weekdays. So then mutter, that is allowed. Because since there never was an obligation on me to work on Shabbos, when he works on Shabbos, he's not my emissary on Shabbos. I was never obligated to work on Shabbos. So he's obligated to work on Shabbos. So he's working on Shabbos for himself. So that would be okay.
But
however,
no,
but we're both sharecroppers.
The prophets shared equally between them when met the question, because if the Jew shares in the profits of the idolater who worked on Shabbos, isn't that a problem?
Exactly. So what we're saying here is it depends on what the deal was. If the deal was initially Jew and non-Jew, both of you guys work 50% of the time, all the days, and the Jew has an obligation based on the deal to be working on Shabbos, he then has the idolater doing that for him, so now the idolater is working for him, that would be a violation of Shabbos. Then there'd be a problem to those prophets, because those prophets are prophets through a violation of Shabbos. But if you have the other option, before we entered into the deal with the owner of the field, we said the Jew's going to work exclusively on Sunday, and the non-Jew is going to work exclusively on Shabbos. So then when they get the field, from the very beginning of when they're getting the field, the non-Jew's guy, Shabbos is all for him, Sunday is all for the Jew, then that's fine. When he works on Shabbos, he's not working for the Jew, he's working for himself. Now how is that determined later when the stuff grows? Well, once it grows and we're in harvest season, one day of harvest is just for him, and one day of harvest is just for the Jew. But that's okay, since it was started from the very beginning that way. The non-Jew is not working for the Jew. The non-Jew is working for himself. That's fine. They're partners. The Shabbos is the day of the non-Jew. And Sunday was the day of the Jew. That's a fine arrangement. But if, from the beginning, they were partners in everything, and the Jew really was supposed to be working on Shabbos, and then they make an arrangement that the non-Jew should do all of Shabbos work, and the Jew will do all of the weekday work, So then already the Jew is having a non-Jew work for him on Shabbos. He's saying, you do the work I'm supposed to be doing. In exchange, instead of paying you rent, I'm paying you more of the profits later. Okay, so that's already a problem of working on Shabbos for him. That's what the price is saying. Now, one second. Now we have a third case. V'im bal cheshbon. Let's say they had accepted to work a field without saying originally, non-Jew's going to do Shabbos and the Jew's going to do during the week. But they had accepted just to work the field. But they, when it actually happened, the non-Jew on his own did all the work on Shabbos. The Jew on his own did all the work of Sunday. And now, later, they're trying to, you know, formalize the arrangements and make calculations. Okay, how many days of Shabbos did you work? How many days of Sunday did I work? So then, also usher, it's not allowed. Because again, what basically we're trying to do is, I'm now showing that what he did on Shabbos was good, and I want to pay him for it. You know, I'm trying to, and I'm getting paid, I'm swapping Shabbos work for Sunday work. That's already business on Shabbos. That wouldn't be allowed. So they, why did Ravina say this? Because Rava had said that in a case where there was a Jew and a non-Jew, and the non-Jew took Shabbos, and the Jew took Sunday, that it was okay. He said, what do you mean? It's not okay. This is a case of bo b'cheshbon. It's not allowed. So ichsof. So Rava was embarrassed. Lasov, but then ultimately, Iglai Milset came out, the histame karu havu, that originally, the Jew and the non-Jew, when they had first gotten into the deal, had made the condition that the non-Jew was going to get all of the Shabbos work, and therefore he was going to get one day of harvest just for himself. And the Jew was going to get all the Sunday work. So since that was what they had done originally when they went into the deal, so then the it was never that the Jew was supposed to be working on Shabbos and the non-Jew did his task as his emissary. The deal was that he has Shabbos and he has Sunday. So therefore it turned out that Rava's psak was the right psak, that the deal was okay, and the non-Jew could keep what he had harvest, and the Jew could keep what he had harvest. Now I think Baruch had a question.
Yeah, I want to change the gear from the field into a retail store.
Good.
That Friday afternoon, a Jew sells his store, his business to a Gentile for $1.
Good.
Okay, and he's open for Shabbat, and then Moshe Shabbat, he buys it back again for $1. How does it work, Rabbi?
It's all based on this Gemara.
Fantastic.
So is it kosher labisa?
Kosher.
As we see in this Gemara, it's a little bit complicated, right? It depends how you structure it. If from the very beginning you have a partner who's not Jewish, and you structure it like that,
he's
you say
partner here. He sells it to him for $1.
Okay, but what he should be is that what we see here that does work is that if you have a non-Jewish partner. And you say, we're going to go into business, okay, that it's not going to have a Jewish name on, it's not going to be Reichman's store. The name of the store will be whatever, Discounts for Less, or some type of generic names. It's not advertising that it's a Jewish-owned store. You say, you have a Jew and you have a non-Jew, and this is the deal from the very beginning. I'm going to do more work on Sunday. I'm going to do all the work Sunday. Sunday, it's all mine. Monday, it's all yours. And I'm sorry, Shabbos, it's all yours. Sunday, it's all mine. And whatever comes in on Shabbos is yours. All those profits are yours. We have to make sure he gets all those profits.
This is for partnership. I'm talking about.
Yeah, but he has to get all the profits. And then Shabbos, it was his. And he was running his store, getting his profit from the beginning. He's not working for me. That could work, yeah. And then you have to make sure your people make the arrangements to do it the right way.
But Bravo, again, this is partnership. What you just said.
Yeah,
I'm talking about
if he sells
ownership.
It to him, then he
it's
own
better.
Then
it's even better.
His ownership to
even
the
better.
$1.
It's better.
Okay. Even better. So
it's
he now owns it.
So it's kosher.
If it's done right, yeah, it should be able to work. Yeah.
Right. You really have to do a cheshbon to give the toy the profit.
Yeah, that's right. Whatever comes in on Shabbos has to be his. That's right.
Once so he might as well close up.
Sell it back. Yeah, might as well.
Yeah, might as well.
It's the whole issue that they're deal. Trying to work around to the gezeira.
It's like a loophole.
He's not paying the rent.
It's more than a gezeira. It's also that I can't work on Shabbos. I can't have my shliach working for me on Shabbos.
You may not be able to buy it back.
So you may not be able to buy it back.
The over amira lo nachri. Yeah, I think Jonathan had a question.
Yeah, so in the case of a field, if the guy, let's say, he's not selling that day, but he's actually weeding the field or fertilizing the field.
Right.
That's what he did on Shabbos.
Okay.
That benefits for the rest of the year. I mean,
right.
It's
not
so it's, that's correct. So it's a little bit complicated, right? Or a little bit, how does he get his work? So that we saw. The deal was, there's going to be a day in the week that's all you. When time we get to the harvest, there'll be a harvest day that's all you. You'll get one whole day of harvest. That was the deal.
And then you make a journal entry at the end.
How do caterers do? Well, caterers, I think, can get paid for all the work that they did before Shabbos. Right? They can get paid for all the preparation and the organizing, and then the Shabbos is not getting paid for that.
I know this the gentleman that has in construction, and what he does is at the end of a project, and this is the thing we set up at the end of a project, if he worked 20 days and two of them had been Shabbos, that percentage of profit that would have been on those 2 days is given away.
To the non-Jewish partner.
Right.
So there'd be some type of an arrangement like what the Gemara clearly says is okay. So now, another story, Rav Gvia, or another version of this story, Rav Gvia mi Beik Til Amar. Rav Gvia from Beik Til said, it wasn't a partnership in regards to Shabbos issues. Hani Shtili D'Or Lahavu. This was a field of brand new tree saplings. So we know that when a tree is planted, the first 3 years, the produce is orla, it's prohibited. So that's what was going on. So Ovid kochavim achil shnei d'orla. These were two sharecroppers, the Jew and the non-Jew. They were partners in their sharecropping business. So what happened was they made a deal like this. The non-Jew worked the first 3 years of this brand new field, and he ate the 50% of the orla, because for the Jew it's prohibited, it's orla. And then the Israel, the Jew, worked the next 3 years, shani de teira, he worked years 4, 5, and 6. And he ate 50% of that produce. He ate 50% of that produce. So also the Kami de Rav, they came to Rav, is this okay? Sharole, and he allowed it. So that's the version. So now the Gemara says, I don't understand, how can you say that's the version? Vosve Ravina le Rava. But we know that Ravina challenged Rava from a Braisa about Shabbos. So the Gemara says, you're saying it's not about Shabbos at all. Their whole story was about Orla. The Gemara says, no, Ravina didn't really challenge Rava. The Cuaca, Ravina brought a proof to Rava. Since the Braisa says in regards to Shabbos, that if the Jew and the non-Jewish partner come, and from the very beginning say, the non-Jew is going to do all the work on Shabbos, and the Jew is going to do the work during the week, that's okay. So that was a proof, because then the non-Jew is not the emissary of the Jew for Shabbos work, even though the Jew is getting a benefit. So the same thing here is with the Arla. The non-Jew is not the emissary of the Jew. The non-Jew is in charge of Arla the whole 3 years. And the Jew is in charge of the next 3 years. We know that in this story with Rava, Rava was embarrassed. Va'ichsif. No, that's not true either. Lo hayudvar mi'ol. Rava was never embarrassed. You have the wrong version of the story. Because the story was not about Shabbos and the week. The story was about Arla. And it was a very understandable ruling that Rava said, non-Jews don't have laws of Arla. There are 7 mitzvos b'nei Noach. Arla is not one of them. So the Jew and the non-Jew, if they're going to be sharecroppers, let the non-Jew work the 3 years during the Arla time. There's no prohibition on a Jew working about Arla. He can work with Arla. He just can't eat the Arla. Can't benefit from the Arla. But he's not benefiting. He's not working. The non-Jew is working. The non-Jew is getting the Arla, which he's allowed to get. And then the Jew is getting the next 3 years. And it's not as if they're doing a business deal. You're selling to me the next 3 years because I sold to you my share in the Orla, so you sold to me your share in years 4, 5, and 6. That's not what's going on here. I get what I worked. I worked years 4, 5, and 6. I get that. You work years 1, 2, and 3. You get that. It's not a sale of we're selling one share to the other. It's not that I'm benefiting from Orla or selling Orla. So this was allowed. And in fact, it was never even challenged. It was that Ravina proved it. He said, you see, when they come into the deal with Shabbos from the very beginning this way, then it's not considered one's working for the other. It's fine. So with Orla too, they can come in from the very beginning. You have 3 years and I have 3 years. Ibailu, let's go back to the questions of Shabbos. They had a question in the yeshiva. We know that if we had initially stipulated that the Naju is going to get Shabbos and I'm going to get Sunday, that's okay. If we didn't initially stipulate and then we make a deal, we say, you know what, you take Shabbos and in return I'll take Sunday, that's not okay, because then we're swapping the work and I'm having him do my work of Shabbos and in return I'm giving him something. So, you know, it's not okay then. But what happens if we don't talk about it? We just do it. Stamamai, everybody's quiet. There's no communication. But he does all the work on Shabbos. I do the work of Sunday. And when it comes harvest time, one day I don't show up, he gets all the harvest, and the next day he doesn't show up and I get all the harvest. So Tashma, maybe we can say like this, going back to that Brisa that Ravina quoted, it said there in Histu Mitchila Mutter, if they had made a condition from the very beginning, the non-Jew has Shabbos and the Jew has a Sunday, then it's allowed. Hastama Asr, implying if they didn't make a condition, then it's not allowed, if it's just, you know, doing things without talking about it. No, but Amos Sefer, read the end of the Brisa. In Bol Cheshbon Aser, if they're going to make a calculation, you take Shabbos, in return I'm going to take Sunday, that's no good. Hastama, but if we didn't make a calculation, we didn't talk about it, then it's mutter, it's allowed. Elamalek Elamishmimina. So from here we can't prove anything one way or the other. Hajan Allah, Bez Hashem Yisbarach, Lifnei Edehen, V'Hadarach Allah.
This is the most clear in Chabayot. I have the problem that people trying sometimes to do cheshbon is Shabbat usually is a better business day on Sunday. Mm. Then you don't allow to do it because then really it's
but you have to give them the profits.
If you have to.
That's the only way to do it.
100% correct.
That's the only way.
Especially when Baruch says, give me a dollar, it's better even. He must kill it.
Okay. All right, so now we're up to the next parak. We continue with the laws of our obligations to avoid enabling sin. And remember, we're talking about the Romans. I guess this is true, as we'll see also about the Arabs. That the halacha, certainly the times of the Mishnah, suspected that these people were extraordinarily deviant. And therefore, says the Mishnah, you can't give over an animal to the control of some innkeeper. You know, many times people would come to an inn, they would hire the innkeeper to work for them. So you can't give your animal as a Jew to the innkeeper to be in charge of, because you're now enabling bestiality. And the Roman innkeepers are suspect to be running around to sleep around. And if they don't find women, they go with the donkeys and the horses. So you can't give your animal there because he's going to go be intimate with the animal. In addition, a woman is not allowed to be alone with a Roman. Because you have to suspect that the Roman is going to engage in intercourse with her. You can't even have any man with alone with them. You have to suspect that they're going to kill. They'll do murder. All right, says the Gemara. Or a mini, I'll challenge you. From we learned in our Mishnah, we learned in the Tosefta, that lokhin behen behema lekarbon. You can buy from a non-Jew an animal and then offer the animal as a karbon. Now we know an animal that was a partner of bestiality or that was worshipped as avodah zarah, or that was going to be offered as a carbon to Avodah Zarah, is not kosher as a carbon. It's disgusting. So one second, but here it says you can buy an animal from a guy for a carbon. Vein choshen, you don't have to worry, lo mishum roveya, that maybe this animal, you know, had intercourse with a woman, or had intercourse with another creature that's not its type. Lo mishum nirva, you don't have to worry that maybe this female animal had intercourse with the male, with a male person, you don't have to worry that maybe the animal has been dedicated to be used as a carbon of Avodah Zarah. You don't have to worry that this animal itself was worshipped with people bowing to it. So in second, Mishlam looks of an avod. I understand you can buy from a guy an animal and offer it as a carbon. You don't have to worry that maybe it's been dedicated for avodah zarah or worshipped as avodah zarah. Because in isadak tzayeh, because if it would have been dedicated for avodah zarah as a carbon, as an offering, or in isadak palchei, or if it would have been served, lo avam azmalei. So then it's a holy thing for him. He would never be selling it. But why aren't we worried that maybe this guy had intercourse with his animal? You just said that we're worried that Goyim have intercourse with animals. So I'm Rav Tachlifa, I'm Rav Shila bar Avina. Rav Tachlifa answered in the name of Rav Shila, the son of Avina, Mishmei the Rav, in the name of Rav, Ovid Kochavim Chasal Behemto. Well, if it was the non-Jew's own animal, he's not going to have intercourse with his own, you know, female donkey. Because if he'd have intercourse with his female donkey, that would make it sterile. And he doesn't want to cause himself a loss of money.
That's true.
Have we learned it before?
I don't know.
I mean, I know we learned it back then.
If it's here, it's got to be true.
I don't know. I'd say nach the cable. Sorry. Even if it isn't, maybe if that's what they thought, that would also cause them not to do it. I'd say nach the cable. Sorry, that's fine with females. What are you going to talk about? What are you going to say about males? How could you buy a male sheep from them for a carbon? Maybe the male sheep entertained the wife of the guy. So I'm Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana said, they wouldn't do that also because the intercourse of a man with an animal makes the flesh of the animal weaker. And he's not going to do that. He's not going to make his animal weaker flesh and reduce his profits. People wouldn't want to buy such an animal. Exactly. And the Gemara says that they prefer a Jewish animal to their own women. That's what the Gemara says. Ella haditanya. But this that we learned in a brisa. Lo kun behema meroa shalahen. You can buy an animal from their shepherd, and we're not worried that maybe it's disqualified to be a carbon. I lechosh dilma ravala roa. Why aren't we worried that the shepherd might have had intercourse with the animal, and the shepherd doesn't care that the animal is going to become sterile because it's not his animal; he's just a hired man. No, so roa shalahem misyarem yishum hefset tzchar. The shepherd's worried because he's worried that the owner is going to realize and not pay him, so he's going to say, "You damaged my animal." So Gemara says, if that's the case, that a shepherd is not going to do bestiality because he's worried to lose his wage. But what about the following brisa? A Jew can't give his animal to a non-Jewish shepherd because the non-Jewish shepherd might have intercourse with the animal. Why don't we say that the non-Jewish shepherd is not going to have intercourse because he doesn't want to lose his wage? So the answer is like this. He's not going to lose his wage from us. He would only lose his wage from them. In who they, diadi bahadadi, the non-Jews who know, you know, they know this whole world, unfortunately, very well of bestiality. So mirtasi. So when the shepherd was hired by the non-Jew, he's worried that the non-Jew who hired him is going to realize that he had bestiality with the animals and won't pay him, so he's not going to do it with the animal. But anad lo yadina bahu, but the Jews, we're not such experts in bestiality and being able to measure an animal that was a victim of bestiality. So therefore, the shepherd knows that he's not going to be caught. So let me to see. He's not afraid of us docking from his wage. And therefore, he's going to go ahead and have intercourse, and therefore we can't give him the animal because it would be lifnei lusite michshol. Amar Rabba said, this is what people say. When you have an iron, some type of an iron pen, it tears the marble. In other words, marble is worried from iron, which can chisel into it, because the marble knows that the chisel is stronger. And also, ragla b'chavre yada. If a person who is a gossip, he's worried about other gossips, because he says, I do it, I'm worried other people will do it too. So in other words, the non-Jewish shepherd who's hired by a non-Jew, he's afraid. You know, the non-Jew is also a gossip. He's also tough. He knows what I do wrong, so he'll be able to catch me. But a Jew, he's a naive guy. He's not going to be able to catch me. So that's where the non-Jewish shepherd will engage in bestiality with the Jewish animal. So Gemara now asks another question. If this is the case, that a non-Jew will not engage in bestiality with his own animal because he doesn't want to either weaken the animal or he doesn't want to make the animal sterile. That's why you can buy his animals and use them as a carbon. Sacharim minikevos, to buy male animals from female non-Jews, lo nizmu, we shouldn't be able to buy. We should be worried that maybe she put that animal on her, and she's not going to become sterile, and it's not going to weaken her, and so we should be worried about buying it from her. So my answer is, Kevin de Migari ba Mirtasi. Since if the animal would have intercourse with her, he would then be very attached to her, become literally her lapdog. So she's worried people are going to see this animal so attached to her. They're going to realize what she did. It's going to be embarrassing. So she doesn't, in fact, engage in bestiality with the animal. But to take our animals and allow it to be with her, that's already a problem because then she might be with it. So the Gemara says, if this is true, that a male animal that has bestiality with a woman is now going to be attached to that woman, this is Rav Yosef taught, a widow shouldn't be raising a dog, because she might have the dog have bestiality with her, and she shouldn't live in her house as a guy renting a room, because she might engage in intercourse with him. So I understand why we wouldn't want to have a Torah scholar in her house. Sneela, because the Torah scholar is quiet. She figures, you know what, I can have intercourse with him. No one's going to know about it. Ela kalba, but a dog, came the mikrubah. But if you're saying that when a woman has intercourse with the dog now laps onto her, it's attached to her, so then mirtasa, she'd be afraid because it's going to be embarrassing. So the Gemara says, no, she figures, I'll have intercourse with the dog. And it's the dog is now going to, you know, drag after me. No, not such a problem. Came the chashadili masrich basra, since when she would throw meat to the dog would also drag after her. She says to herself that people are going to say, "Hi, the Mr. Chabasrei, this is the dog is running after this woman." It's because she gives him a lot of meat, and therefore she will, in fact, possibly do the terrible thing of engaging in bestiality with the dog. What's that?
Say the thing about the guy. You could say the same thing about the guy's woman.
Yeah, that's a good question. Why don't you say the same with the non-Jewish woman? Okay. Okay, so we'll stop here, and Bezrat Hashem will continue tomorrow. Well, Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha Omer, Ratzach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'Zakas HaYisrael, L'Fichach HaKibbalim Torah, Mitzvah, Shneamar,